If you'd like, you can open your New Testament to the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. And we'll begin reading in verse 36 in just a few minutes in Luke chapter 7. And for our guest, we want you to know that we are truly delighted to have you, primarily because of your interest in the Lord, our God and Creator that we have come to worship, and our Savior that we have come today to honor. And thank you for encouraging me and encouraging each other with the songs that we have sung, the joy of lifting our hearts together in prayer, and the privilege of gathering around the table to remember that God loved us enough that, as Randall said, He gave us that privilege once again to be in His image and to be His child. I want to begin reading in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Let's just read the story. It says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' 'There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?' Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said, 'Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' And he said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" You know, much has been said about the subject of forgiveness. And yet, I'm afraid that sometimes we don't fully grasp or understand the meaning. I did appreciate, by the way, the class we had a couple of weeks ago on that. Good class. And much has been said about the grace of God. And yet I'm afraid that at times, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer said many years ago, in Europe we have sold grace at bargain basement prices. I'm afraid that we fail to fully understand and grasp what it really cost God to forgive and to redeem man from sin. And because of that, I'm afraid that we have failed to fully understand what it is to have the need of gratitude for all that God has given us. And there are a couple of parables that illustrate that quite well. In Matthew the 18th chapter, the parable of the two debtors, where God's incredible mercy changes the attitude, or should have changed the attitude of a man, but failed to change his attitude. The other is the parable of two debtors, the parable that we have just read that unlocks the secrets of those who truly love God and also reveals one who was rather callous and rather unforgiving. It's the latter parable that I want us to consider this morning and take a look at. A story that gives rise to the parable, and then the lesson of the parable that Jesus offers in verses 41 and 42 of the text. It seemed that the occasion was in the city of Galilee during Jesus' second year of public teaching that a Pharisee by the name of Simon had asked him to a dinner date. Exactly what his motive is, we don't know. But sometime during this last year of ministry, this Pharisee had invited the Lord to come and to have dinner at his table. And there are three principal characters that are found in the story. Of course, the Lord himself, and then Simon the Pharisee, and then this woman who suddenly enters the scene. Consider with me some of the characteristics, first of all, of Simon. I suppose we might say that he has a few good qualities. Number one, we would say and recognize that he was hospitable. Now, exactly what his motive is, I don't know. Maybe it was out of curiosity that he would have asked the Savior to come and to sit at his table to eat. And to some degree, Simon was respectful, for he acknowledges in verse 40 that Jesus is indeed a teacher. But that's about all that we could possibly say good about this man. For Simon had a number of character flaws. Number one, he was vainly proud. And in fact, in verse 39, as this woman is washing the feet of Jesus with her very tears and this expensive flask of oil, it says that when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." This man doubted the very identity of Jesus and all that he claimed to be, because after all, if he were truly a prophet, he would not allow someone who is ceremonially unclean to touch him. That is, to touch him and to wipe his feet with her hair and to wash his feet with her tears. Therefore, out of pride and arrogance and out of a judgmental and self-righteous attitude, Simon failed to acknowledge the very identity of the one who was the Savior of sin. But not only that, not only is he vainly proud, but number two, he is hypocritical. Hospitable? Well, maybe. But you notice what Jesus says beginning in the 44th verse. He turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." The one who is truly hospitable here is this sudden uninvited guest. Out of sort of accolades, perhaps out of curiosity, it may have been that Simon simply wants to parade this one before his friends, who has now become a celebrity, has invited Jesus into his house, but rather accommodatively so. But the one who is truly hospitable is this woman. She is the one who is offered water for the feet. She is one who is offered the greeting of the kiss, and she is one who is anointed the head or anointed the feet of Jesus with this very expensive oil. It was with that picture lesson that Jesus would say to Simon, "She loved much." She is the one who truly loved me. Furthermore, not only is he hypocritical, but he is very ungrateful. Out of religious pride, he would refuse to recognize the identity of Jesus and all the possibility and potential that Jesus would have. What about this woman? Well, first of all, she has a bad quality. She's a sinner. And never do we find in Scripture that Jesus would look lightly or that God would look lightly upon sin. There is never an occasion when he would excuse sin. Upon one occasion, he would say to a woman, "Go sin no more." She is a sinner. She has pursued this lifestyle. And certainly, she has broken the fellowship that man can have with God because of her transgression. However, There are a number of admirable qualities in this woman. Number one, she is truly sorrowful. She is the only one in the room who seems to see all the possibility and all the potential that Jesus has. In verse 37 and 38, we find one of the most inspiring, perhaps touching scenes in all of Scripture, short of the cross. It says, "This woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at His feet behind Him, weeping. And she began to wash His feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed His feet with and anointed them with the fragrant oil." Totally resolute. Wholly focused. And totally focused upon the Savior. Completely unaware of everything that is going on around her. Unaware of the critics that may have been looking at her. She falls at the feet of Jesus. And she offers her ardent devotion and anoints His feet with expensive oil. And yes, not only that, but out of sorrow even wipes His feet with her very tears and her very hair. She sees the possibility here, where others have missed it. And not only sorrowful, but truly the one who is hospitable. Bear in mind, she is the uninvited guest. It was the host that should have been hospitable. But she is the one who comes and offers the water for the feet and the greeting kiss and anoints the feet of Jesus. Yes, not only with fragrant oil, but even with her very, very tears. Thus, Jesus would say of her in verse 50, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." A woman of great faith. It was this picture that would give rise to the parable then that is recorded in verses 41 and 42. You see, Jesus is the only one in the room who is staring at Simon. All others in the room are staring at the woman in disgust. And Jesus says in verse 40, "Simon, I have something to say to you." You can imagine how he must have felt. "I have something to say to you." And he said, "So, teacher, say it." And in verses 41 and 42 then follow these words. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more?" "I have something to say to you." There were two debtors. One who owed about 2 years' wages, another 2 months' wages, but none could pay the debt. Now, which would love him more? The important lesson of the parable, first of all, is a lesson in gratitude. A lesson that I think we need to think about and learn. He turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet in her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." The difference is that Simon sees no need of forgiveness. He deems himself to be God's gift to mankind and God's gift to God. But she sees all the possibility. And thus, out of gratitude, she anoints him with expensive oil. And out of humility, she stands behind him, anointing his feet with her very tears and wiping the feet with her hair. I'm telling you, if we fully understood all that God had done for us, the prayer would no longer be just a prayer. The Lord's Supper would no longer be just a Lord's Supper. The Bible class no longer just another class. The sermon just another sermon. And the day not just another day. But yes, indeed, a day in which I can honor again my Heavenly Father and my Savior. Out of great indebtedness, completely and totally focused, unaware of all that is going around her, she is offering her ardent devotion to the one, only one, who has any possibility. Jesus the Savior. She loved much. But Simon, you don't need to be forgiven. You love little. The other lesson in the same verses is a lesson of humility. He says, "For her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loved little." You see, the reason why Simon has little gratitude is because Simon sees himself as having few sins. He views himself as a moral and spiritual giant. And he views this woman as a moral failure who has absolutely no possibility, no potential, no possibility of any fellowship or relationship with God. But the problem is that Simon is blind to his own sin and the need of God's grace. It reminds me of another text found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and another character, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and beginning with the 12th verse. 1 Timothy 1:12, when Paul said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And when he was converted, Paul would devote his life, literally give his life, for that cause. You and I can never repay the debt. And someone might say, well, if we can't repay the debt, then what's the use? I'll tell you what it is. It's gratitude. Father, I can't repay the debt, but gratitude. I love you so much that I don't want to disappoint you anymore. I love you so much that I want to strive to please you. I want to have the passion. I want to have the devotion that you want me to have. I want to be better as your child. I want to grow closer to you. And I want to have more and more each day the character, yes, indeed, your character and the character of your Son. Some of the sweetest words ever come from human lips came from Jesus upon that day. "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now here's a question. Which of the two are you? Are you the self-righteous Pharisee who sees no need of forgiveness and therefore unmerciful? Are you like the scarlet woman, forgiven and gracious? Which of the two are you? I'm going to tell you that God loves you and Jesus loves you. The greatest dilemma of man is sin and the death that results. The greatest joy that man can offer or that man can enjoy is fellowship with the Heavenly Father and all the promises that go with it. God gave His Son so that you could have that fellowship. But you'll have to come on His terms. Out of a heart of gratitude. Maybe there's someone here today who wishes to come with penitent heart and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If we can do anything today to assist you, we invite you to come. Would you come as we stand and sing the song selected? Yeah.